Picture a man who was recently in a car wreck. He suffered severe brain trauma, and now he's in a coma. Right now, he cannot survive on his own. But thanks be to God, the wonders of modern medicine. As he lies there, rather helpless, on that hospital bed, he is kept alive by nutrient-giving IVs and a breath-giving ventilator. These very machines are sustaining his life. They're giving him strength to again live, work, and do. We too are connected to something, but it's not a machine which sometimes fails or may not even be enough to sustain one's life. Rather, we are connected to something much better, someone more powerful, someone more glorious than machines in a hospital room, someone who goes beyond just imparting life, but who imparts power, ability, and strength to do more. We are connected to Christ. He gives life, he sustains life, and he provides strength so that we can do much good. And in today's gospel, he is called the vine, for he indeed is our vine, our life and strength. Jesus wanted his disciples to know this truth. It was Maundy Thursday, less than 24 hours before their teacher, their leader, their rabbi would be beaten, nailed, and killed. So Jesus is just gushing comfort after comfort to his disciples. He's just shared the Last Supper with them, where he gave them his very body and blood for forgiveness. He assured them that they would never be alone, that he was always with them, even after he leaves them. He just recently spoke to them clearly, saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in case they still didn't grasp what he meant, he gives them a beautiful picture, another wonderful "I am" statement met their ears as they headed to Gethsemane. You heard it in the gospel reading tonight. "I am the vine." The disciples were surely familiar with vineyards. Vineyards were a very common sight throughout Palestine. Perhaps they passed one on their way. Maybe a disciple asked what it meant that Jesus was the life. But whatever it was, Jesus gave them perhaps his most personal story of a vine yet. This story was about himself, a different, better vine. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." The true vine. The disciples may have been familiar with a different vine, one less reliable, often not so fruitful, Israel. You see, the Old Testament referred to Israel as a vine, planted by God, but at times cut down, burned, moved, transplanted because of their disobedience and disbelief. But now the disciples hear of the true vine, a perfect vine, Jesus, their Savior, transplanted from his heavenly home to a far less glorious existence on earth, all for them, to give them life. He was and remained perfectly obedient to his Father's will. In a few hours, he would be cut down by the cracking whips of Roman guards. He would carry a tree heavy on his gashed and aching shoulders to plant it in a hill, be nailed to it, and then die an excruciating death, all so that we may live. He is the vine we must be connected to. And when branches do not remain in the vine, Jesus says, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away, withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." Do you see how Jesus uses this simple illustration to make this strong, vital point that is so easy to grasp? For what can a branch do when cut off from the plant? Will it stay green? Will it grow fruit? No, we know it's ridiculous to say yes to any of these. It can do nothing but fade to a bleak brownness until it withers away to dust. You've likely experienced this phenomenon as you've gardened and pruned. The branches may still be green and vibrant as they fall to the ground, but you know in just a few short days, they will be lifeless, brittle, and unsightly. We know full well that a branch separated from the plant is useless. It is dead without it. Jesus himself says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And as John the Baptist says in Matthew 3, the dreary reality is this. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Imagine again that man in a hospital, the man in a coma. What if I told you he's a young man, in fact, a five-star athlete, that he's recruited, say, by multiple Division I schools for track? He is in tip-top cardiovascular shape. He is strong, legs like tree trunks, his diet impeccable. But all that doesn't matter right now, does it? All that doesn't change his reliance, his need for that IV and ventilator. In the same way, Christian, it does not matter how long you've known Christ, whether you are a recent convert, a lifelong Christian, a Bible study leader, or wavering amid doubts. You need Christ today as much as any other day before and any day to come. A branch from a vine could be heavy, laden with grapes, delightful to the eye. Yet even that branch, despite its good health and fruitfulness, would be destined to brown, wither, and die, disconnected from the vine. So Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 that separate from Christ, we are by nature deserving of wrath, dead in transgressions. That's what we are when disconnected from our vine. But that's not all, Paul said. But because of his great love for us, he goes on, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And later he writes, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You, yes, you are rooted in Jesus. Jesus' words to his disciples are also words spoken to you. I am the vine. You are the branches. And he also says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Like the disciples, you have read, heard, and learned God's word. Throughout the Lenten season, you were reminded how you were brought near by the blood of Christ, how you too are justified before God by his perfect obedience and death. You've heard this Easter season how he rose again, defeating death, eliminating its sting, that he is protecting you as the good shepherd. And now you've heard the word again tonight. You've heard that Christ is your vine. You are connected to him. You know that you need him for life, and he gives life. Paul wrote in Romans, faith comes from hearing the message. And you've heard the message tonight. In our epistle reading from 1 John, you know that Christ lives in you. John writes, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. You have been brought into life with Christ by water and the Spirit. At your baptism, you were grafted into the vine, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Savior, you were made clean, just as Jesus called his disciples. There you were connected to Christ, made his brothers and sisters, made his branches. Connected to Christ, his life is yours, his righteousness is yours, his record of perfect obedience is yours, his strength to do his Father's will, yours, all yours. Therefore, connected to Christ, as branches to the vine, there's only one natural result, fruitfulness. Nobody has to tell branches in a healthy vine to flower and produce grapes. It just happens. It happens because of the life and strength flowing from that vine. For what good would that vine be if it were unhealthy or if it were dead? We know the nature of gardening. That can easily happen, but not with our vine. You are connected to the vine, one who is divine, so much more than healthy. He is perfect. He is reigning in glory. And your vine is alive. He is risen. And now he is alive and active in your life, strengthening you to bear much fruit. Jesus himself says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. A vine simply sends its nutrients, strength-giving, fruit-enabling nutrients, and thus the branches produce. They can't help but do so. In the same way, we respond in thankful love and awe for this life that Jesus gives us. It is natural. It is empowered by his connection to us. Peter wrote in his first epistle, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Yet how often do we try and try again to produce fruit by our own power apart from our vine? We know how useless branches are without the vine, yet how often we think we don't need the nutrients of our vine. We think we can be fruitful and healthy on our own. When we sin, we love to rebuke ourselves. We yell at ourselves. I did it again. I'm so stupid. I'm always saying awful things, doing awful things. Next time, I'll be better. I'm done being like this, and I'm going to work at it, Lord. I'm done disappointing you. Did you see the common theme there? I will be better. What's wrong with me? I'm going to work at it. This sin won't get me again. How often we forget Jesus' words. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We love to make this struggle against sin all about ourselves, forgetting to pray to Jesus, rely on him, to look to him for help and strength. We all know the branch withers without the plant. Likewise, we can do nothing without Jesus. We aren't alone. We are connected to him. You don't need to keep feeling this pressure to be better, this stress to improve as if it all depends on you. Jesus plainly says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This isn't a question, a maybe or a perhaps. This isn't dependent on, well, if I try harder, next time I'll be better. No. If a branch is connected to the vine, it will bear much fruit. That's what Jesus tells you. You will. There is no question. The very life of the vine flows through the branches. God's grace is working through you powerfully, more than you may realize. To be in the vine even goes beyond that support. There's also a gardener. Jesus says every branch that does bear fruit, he, the Father, that's the gardener, prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I remember as a kid always wondering why my dad just absolutely mutilated the backyard rose bushes. They had some beautiful blooms, but he made them look so barren and ugly after he pruned them. But then, after patient waiting, I saw what his pruning achieved. More blooms than ever before. Wonderful, colorful flowers filled the plant. In the same way, pruning from our Heavenly Father may not look or feel the best for a time. In fact, from the branch's perspective, the gardener comes bearing a knife, shears, maybe a bucket of reeking manure. But that gardener knows precisely what the branches need. He knows how to make a close and precise cut so the branches can heal quickly. For yes, he's causing a wound, but a wound that will serve them. He knows the right time to make the cut so that disease does not spread and the result of maximum fruit is accomplished. This is how it is with our Father, our loving, all-knowing gardener. He knows what circumstances, what situations we need. He knows what hardships we might need to be drawn again to His Word, to be reminded to trust in Him and Him alone, to have us fully rely on Christ our vine. The young man in that hospital, he'll receive shots. He may be cut open for surgery, pricked, prodded. Those things hurt, but they hurt for a purpose, to allow him to live and work again, to be free from injury and hindrance. So too, our Heavenly Father prunes us to clear the way for more good fruits to come, removing impurities and other obstacles in the branch that could hinder good fruits. And those branches, that's us, we're free to produce wonderful fruits for the gardener, all thanks to our connection to the vine. In that vine, Jesus, we are free to produce good works that are delightful to our Father. You are cleansed, friends. You are pruned and being pruned. You've been baptized into Christ, your vine. You've heard His message proclaimed. Through your connection to the vine, you share in Jesus' desire to do what is good before the Father. This is why, wanting what Jesus wants, leaning on His words, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Because when you are connected to Christ, your vine, you want only what His perfect will wants. And He will ultimately do what is best for us, what is according to His will. What more could we even ask for? In our vine, we have everything we need for life and for action. We have eternal life. We have strength. So branches in the vine, ask away. Pray. Lean on Christ, your vine, for strength. And now, just as my Father beamed with pride at His beautiful roses, your Heavenly Father smiles and beams with pride upon you and the fruits of faith you produce. We are rooted in Jesus Christ, the vine. He is our life and our strength. Amen.